Hello and welcome to Boogle's Sound of Economics podcast. This is a deep focus and today we're talking about trade between the European Union and countries in South America. I'm now joined by Yuri Dadush to discuss his paper on the European Union and Mercosur Free Trade Agreement. Yuri, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm great, thank you. So, why do you believe this deal is worth fighting for?
Well, there are really four reasons. One is it will mean important reforms in Argentina and Brazil that are some of the largest economies of the world and the most distorted. Second, for the European Union, it is an opportunity to link up with the world's most competitive agricultural producers and to take forward its agenda on agricultural reforms. The third reason is that it gives a message to protectionists, especially in the United States, that the European Union is taking a different tack and is maintaining its commitment to free trade, which is very important. And the fourth reason is that the agreement has many features that go beyond standard World Trade Organization disciplines, which are helpful in establishing precedents. And the agreement also includes a commitment on the part of all parties to live up to the Paris Agreement.
So in the paper, you talk about the difficulties the trade agreement might face in its ratification process. What are those?
I would say that there are two main issues. There are many issues, but there are two main ones that are worrisome. One is there's going to be a very likely change of government in Argentina towards a more traditional Peronist and probably protectionist government. This is likely to happen in the coming elections at the end of October. It's not clear at this point that the new government, assuming it indeed is, that will want to persist with the deal, although it is possible that it will. And the second is agreement is a very broad agreement that entails commitments that go beyond the kind of narrow mandate of the narrow trade mandate of the Commission, and therefore has to be ratified by member states, the parliaments of member states, and indeed the regional parliaments of some member states. And particularly since the agreement entails opening up markets to some degree vis-a-vis the most competitive or among the most competitive agricultural producers in the world, there will be very significant opposition from agricultural interests that are very powerful in various countries. There is also strong opposition to the deal coming from some non-government organizations, civil society, on account of Brazilian policies, President Bolsonaro's policies with regard to the environment and the Amazon. President Bolsonaro fashions himself a little bit along the lines of President Trump, and takes a dim view of regulations that restrict carbon emissions or policies that are intended to improve that picture. And that includes a more liberal interpretation of what deforestation means.
And this trade deal took 20 years to get to this point. Is it possible that it could be derailed by differences in attitudes towards the environment?
Yes, I think it is possible. I think that, as you have seen in the course of the last, even the last few days, at the United Nations General Assembly meetings, heads of state meetings, the meeting on climate, there is a very strong surge in public opinion across the world concerned about the climate issue. And of course, that includes within, very much includes within the European Union. And I think that the tolerance for policies that are dismissive of these concerns has declined markedly in the last few weeks and in the last few years. So special attention will have to be paid to the implementation mechanisms, monitoring mechanisms, and conditions that relate to environmental concerns.
And why did it take 20 years to get this far? And if we don't get through this, will we have to start again?
It took 20 years because of many reasons, but fundamentally, Mercosur brings together, the EU-Mercosur deal brings together two blocks. It's not just single countries. It's an association of 28 on one side and currently four on the other, Mercosur, that on one hand have been very protectionist of their industries, particularly in the case of Brazil and Argentina, and on the other, very protectionist of their agriculture on the European Union side. So currently in the European Union, something like close to 40%, somewhere between 35 and 40% of the income of farms is derived from direct subsidies. And on top of that, you have very high protection of agriculture, very high tariffs and all sorts of impediments to the entry of imports, which means that the European consumer is subsidizing farmers directly through higher prices as well as directly through its pocket on taxes and subsidies. And so bringing these two blocks together, the agriculture on one side and the industry on the other, to open up to each other, highly competitive in their respective sectors of comparative advantage, has been extraordinarily difficult. And we've been able to do it recently because of a confluence of reformist governments in Brazil and Argentina on one hand, and on the other, the big concerns about protectionism and the viability of the world trading system as we know it on the part of the European Union, especially following the protectionist measures taken by the Americans.
And what kind of specific reforms would you like to see from the Latin American countries?
Well, the Latin American countries have a huge agenda to make their industrial sector more competitive. They're very competitive in agriculture. They're very uncompetitive in industrial goods and highly protected. And the list of reforms is a long one, and it ranges from improvements in macroeconomic management and stability that improve confidence, to improvements in governance, the corruption scandals, particularly in Brazil recently, have shown just how bad the situation is on that. Of course, that undermines investor confidence. And improvement in infrastructure, reduction of regulations, investment in education and human capital. It's a long list of issues, and that is indeed one of the reasons that the agreement is so important, is because in order for the agreement to work, there will be stronger incentives now to move forward on reformist agendas of all kinds within Mercosur.
And as it stands, are you optimistic or pessimistic about the passage of this agreement?
I am cautiously optimistic because I think too much is at stake. Also, because I believe that it will be possible, if the agreement runs into significant obstacles, as it is likely to do, it will be possible to make some changes to it, particularly, for example, on the environmental monitoring and enforcement that can take it forward.
And those interested in reading the paper can do so at bruegel.org. Uri, thank you very much for joining us.